Blog Talk Radio.
Looking at the news as we're doing it, and apparently another shooting spree in Southern California.
Can y'all just stop?
I know. People, just stop. Stop. Sit down and play video games. Okay. Sit down. Come play with us. Be happy. Eat some pizza.
Or at least share some pizza if you don't want to eat any. Right? Buy some so we can eat it.
But stop shooting everybody.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, is that Joe? Who is that?
No, this is just good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. It's not noon yet.
It is in Eastern time zone.
Well, I guess it could be. All right, so.
Yeah, let me watch you yawning. You're listening to Lunch with Ginger and Corey, and I'm the one not yawning.
Yay! I can't help it. I yawn sometimes.
Well, stop
Lunch
it.
Lunch with Ginger and Corey. We're here, and I have no cookies. I'm very upset by this.
I have already eaten. Well, kind of, sort of.
And my tummy is all like, oh, there is fresh bread in the other room. You know you want to go eat the whole thing.
No, you don't.
Oh, God. I know. It's why it's in the other room, because if we're in here, I'm eating it.
You don't want to eat it. You don't want to do it.
It's fresh bread. Fresh from the bread maker.
Yes, there's a good ginger.
The whole house smells like bread.
It's a good ginger. Yes, it is.
You should never make your own bread, ever, because seriously, that smell will make you hungry. I don't care how much you ate. All right, so first thing first, of you BlizzCon fans, if you're going, the dates have been confirmed.
How should this call jump in? What is going on with you this morning? Ginger off her game all week.
I know. It's kind of nuts.
We have no banter. You mentioned the shooting. I'm like, when's she going to tell us about the shooting? What happened?
I don't know much about the shooting yet.
And
then
she yawning. You know what? That's it for you. Go to sleep. Go take a nap.
I know. You think that I haven't slept, but I have.
Go take a nap. Go lay down.
I need one.
Go lay down.
But no, it was in Southern California. There are 6 shooting sites. They've not told us who, why, or where yet. I just know it's in Southern California. And that there are several people that are dead. So that's all I know. But as we find out more, I will let you know.
Hopefully
it's none of our fans. Hopefully, it's, you know, well, sadly, I hope it's, it's somebody.
Nope, nobody.
I'm sad about that. But
we wish it was nobody, but what can you do?
Yes. All right. So back to the BlizzCon thing. BlizzCon at Anaheim Convention Center, Anaheim, California, on November 8th and 9th is going to be BlizzCon 2013. Blizzard has confirmed this. As you know, it's going to be the 7th BlizzCon, and BlizzCon allows fans of Warcraft, StarCraft, and Diablo to get together and game and, what was it? Well, they didn't have one last year, but the year before last, let you be douchebags to each other, apparently. Also allows people to compete in the Global Blizzard Esports Finals. BlizzCon gives us a chance to connect with our players and share our latest projects in a very personal way, says Blizzard CEO and co-founder Mike Morhaime. Members from all of our gaming communities have helped make this event bigger and better every time, and we look forward to meeting up and celebrating with them in November. All right, fans, so if you're going to be in the Anaheim area come November, well, you'd better bought tickets beforehand, because if I remember right, 2 years ago when they had this, they sold out within minutes. So if you want them, you better get them while they are available, because otherwise you are SOL. I don't think they allow you to pay at the door, I don't think. But anyways, but that'll be cool. So as I find out what else they have, I will let you know, because I know the year before last they had a dinner that the money went to charity, and I know they had a big band 2 years ago. So I'm not quite sure what else is going to be going on, but it should be fun.
All right.
If you dress as a panda, I want pictures.
I don't. That's scary.
Just keep your panties on, okay?
Ew. Stop. All right. New up also on Gamingatrix only. The top five sci-fi films ahead of their time for the Extreme Geek. You're all
focused
up this morning. Hot. You have to go over to our site. Check it out. Of course, Hackers is on the list. Who is asking me that? Of course it's on the list. Hackers, awesome. All right, make sure you go. Hackers was way ahead of its time. That's why we still watch it, actually. I mean, the technology in the movie is, you know, of course, subpar compared to what we have now. But the concepts and everything is right on point. Awesome. And, of course, a lot of us know how to do that basic stuff now. Anyway, we were telling you about...
What happened was...
Ginger, we might have to get you some help today.
I'm so trying. I'm so trying, but I'm just like...
It's all right, baby. All right. Apparently, we're not going to have to cut our president mentally anyway.
We're not? Yay! What did he do?
Well, he has endorsed the introduction of computer programming courses to the U.S. school system. Obama, you effing rock. In a Google Plus Fireside Hangout, which I was planning on attending, but I think, you know, I was having some concussion issues. President Obama cited the importance of video games and the internet in modern culture as compelling reasons to educate high school children in how to create games, programs, and apps and such. And he says, part of what I'm trying to do here is to make sure that we're working with high schools and school districts across the country to make the high school experience relevant for young people, not all of whom are going to get a four-year college degree or advanced degree. Awesome. He says, given how pervasive computers and the internet is now, and how integral it is to our economy, and how fascinated kids are with it, I want to make sure they know how to actually produce stuff using computers and not simply consume. That is effing hot. God, he's hot. Okay, so the video games could be a catalyst necessary to engage students. According to GI.biz, Obama pointed to Facebook co-founder Mark Zuckerberg as someone whose interest in games led him toward programming and ultimately enormous success. He says, and there are a whole bunch of young people out there, I suspect, who, if in high school, are given the opportunity to figure out here's how you can design your own games, but requires you to know math and it requires you to know science, or here's what a career in graphic design looks like, we're going to start setting those programs in our high schools, not waiting to go to community college, he said. Obama's comments echo the driving ideas behind the Livingstone Hope Next Gen Skills campaign, which led to broad changes in the UK national curriculum, which we told you about last week, including the addition of computer science to the English baccalaureate. I love saying that word. Obama, I love you. Obama, you are so awesome.
She loves you.
I love you, Obama.
She loves you so hard. That is hilarious. All right. So,
Ginger, what do you think about this?
I think that gaming should be in schools. I think that it can be an asset. And I think that all these people who are like, video games are bad, you know, should just go back to their book burning, because that's pretty much what it amounts to. You know, because we played things like Oregon Trail and stuff like that growing up.
Well, that was part of our curriculum when I was in the fifth grade, was playing Oregon Trail to teach us about, you know, managing your resources.
Mm-hmm.
We only had one computer in class. Can y'all imagine that? One computer to 25 students. So we got an hour one day a week. I think my day was Tuesday afternoon at 3:30, 3:30 to 4:30 until we got out. And you had to play and manage your family and make sure they didn't die for that hour. And then you had to explain to your teacher, how could we have better managed such and such resources and so on. So he's absolutely right.
He is. He's totally right. And the way the world is going and the way our lives are turning, think about it. I mean, our phone is a calculator, it's a phone, it's a computer, it's a mobile media device, it's a game controller, it's all sorts of things. It's everything. Hell, in some places now, it's even your credit card.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I think we should be teaching our children computer science, and that involves gaming. And a lot of ways, one of the best ways to teach children that they will actually remember and take the lesson with them is in the form of games. So, yes, I think video games should be in the curriculum for school.
He's a little off with the math thing, but you don't have to know. Well, you have to understand the structure of math. So if you're bad at math, it's going to make it a little harder for you to program. But you don't actually have to be.
Yeah, math is not my favorite. Not my favorite, but I'm still picking it up. So
you have to understand the structure of math, most notably algebra. You kids out there that are awesome at algebra now, you could pick up programming like that. It'll be easy for you because you understand the rules. It has to stay in this particular structure. Anybody remember the Please My Dear Aunt Sally thing with algebra?
Oh, my God. First, inside, outside, last. Yes.
That's right. The same thing applies to programming. You have rules you have to know. This goes first, this, and this. Once you learn it, you can program anything.
I was okay until, like, the advanced algebra. And you know, once you start talking trig, I was just, no, sorry.
Dude.
I'm going to clock out right here and go do something else.
Did I tell you the trick that my college professor taught me my first year of trig and algebra in college?
Was that to write in a different color or something?
No,
or?
Write it with your, because if you're right-handed, people that are left-handed generally don't have any trouble, that, I'm not saying any trouble, but they have very little trouble with math because that's the side of your brain that uses, you know, math. He says, write it with your other hand, and I did. And I'm telling you, it works like a charm. It does. I switch hands whenever I do my math homework, and I could do it just amazingly, you know, page-long problems, and I, you know, bang them out. Exactly. It's one.
Wow. I will have to try that because, seriously, algebra and I do not.
Dude, that worked like a charm. And
basic algebra, I'm good. You get into advanced, and I'm just like, no, this is Greek.
Dude,
I never learned Greek.
It was hard when I got there. And he introduced, like, the same thing I'm saying, is the concept of there is rules. Once you learn the rules, and if you know the basics, Ginger, you already know the rest of it. You just kind of got to not let the rest of it get to you, because that's what it happens. You look at that long problem and you're like, oh my God, that is a whole page full of letters and numbers. I can't do that. But you say, okay, I already know the rules. I know my Please My Dear Aunt Sally. So I know where I got to start at. First, inside out.
I guess that's a lot of it is, and I know it sounds silly, but I would totally get intimidated by it, by seeing that whole big long thing. I'd be like, oh my God, I can't do this. And like, that's finally what happened is I had a summer school teacher tell me just look at it one step at a time.
You know what messes me up? Parabolas. Anybody remember parabolas? I cannot do them.
It sounds familiar.
That whole circle, have to calculate the curve or something that the circle. Man, you put that in front of me. I'm like, no. You say the word parabola and I get goosebumps. I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. No, but it's I'm not calculating anything. No. And we had to build 3D versions. Oh, no, that was a no-no. That was a fight.
No, but then that's like languages and sciences and English and history. Oh, man, that was like child's play to me all the way through high school. I mean, hell, even in the college, it was nothing. So, but algebra, oh.
Gotta go.
I don't know what it is. I start looking at the numbers and it like the whole paper starts to swim and I can't concentrate.
Cover them up.
I have to do something because, yeah.
Cover them up. Cover them. You know why we're giving Ginger this advice? Did I tell y'all Ginger was going to school? We're so proud.
Ginger's going to school. Yay. Yeah, Ginger spent this morning being introduced to, like, Dreamweaver and how to choose colors and intro to Photoshop and stuff like that. So.
Did I tell you how much I hate Dreamweaver that I uninstalled it last year? Did I tell you that?
No, you don't tell me.
What's the other one that goes with Dreamweaver? There's a whole suit, Fire or something, that I hate them.
I've got, like, a whole...
Yeah, no, you got the whole suite. You have to know it, and I know how it works. It's
fireworks.
There you go. Yeah, fireworks. Have you played with fireworks yet?
No, I haven't.
Don't bother with it. You have the Photoshop. Trust me, fireworks will annoy you. It's like
I opened up fireworks and I was like, why does this look like Photoshop?
Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like Photoshop, but it don't work.
What do I need fireworks for? I'm sure it probably does something different.
Mm-mm.
But no.
Not nowadays. Back in the probably late 90s, early 2000s times, it was good to have, because when you were doing web design, you had to break down the images into little sections. This is going to get real geeky. For those of you who are wanting to go get coffee, go now. But it would break down the images so that when you put them up on the on a website, that would it would load up faster because it would load each piece. But you really don't need that anymore. It's good to know, yes, because you may have to do that one day. You may have to build a website, have to break it down, but you really don't need it. I think Photoshop even does that now, so it's kind of, I'm sorry, Dreamweaver people, it's kind of pointless. You can ditch that photo, that fire stuff.
No, I've got all of that fun stuff, and half of it is, I'm kind of like, I don't even know most of this stuff, but, you know, it'd be interesting. I can't wait to get more into Photoshop. You know, I've used CS2 for so long, I can't wait to find out what CS6 can do or can do better or easier or all of that other fun stuff. Did I tell you, I did my first scene, like the side for the jean scenes the other day.
You did?
I do that to make it look good. Yes. Yes.
If you had just asked me months ago, I would have told you. I didn't know you were trying to do that.
I'm determined. I'm going to learn on my own.
You are learning on your own. You're asking somebody else. You're asking somebody now. You're just paying to ask them. See, you could ask me for free a long time ago.
That's true. No, I did it. I was like, wow, that was easy. Now that I look at it, I'm like, I can't believe I didn't think about that before. That was, yeah.
It's a trick of the eye.
It is. It's like three colors and ta-da.
Voila. Is it my turn?
Oh, no. I think it's my turn. All right. So apparently we've done been hacked. Oh, no.
Again?
Yeah. By China. China. Security group suspects Chinese military is behind hacking attacks. I found this morning on Yahoo News. A secretive Chinese military unit is believed to be behind a series of hacking attacks. This is coming from a U.S. computer security company. It prompted a strong denial by China and accusations that it was in fact the victim of U.S. hacking. I'm thinking it's probably a two-way street. The company Mandiant identified the People's Liberation Army Shanghai-based unit 61398 as the most likely driving force behind the hacking. Mandiant said it believed the unit had carried out sustained attacks on a wide range of industries. They say the unit 61398 has been work is considered by China to be a state secret. However, we believe it engages in harmful computer network operations. It is time to acknowledge the threat is originating in China, and we want to do our part to arm and prepare security professionals to combat that threat effectively. China's Defense Ministry issued a flat denial of the accusations, and they called them...
You lie!
Unprofessional! Was it us? It said hacking attacks are a global problem, and that China is one of the world's biggest victims of cyber assaults on what, like, the one allowed computer in China? Anyways, the Chinese Army has never supported any hacking activity. Statements about the Chinese Army engaging in cyber attacks are unprofessional and not in line with facts. Unit 61398 is located in Shanghai's Pudong District, China's financial and banking hub, and is staffed by perhaps thousands of people proficient in English, as well as computer programming and network operations. The unit had stolen hundreds of terabytes of data from at least 141 organizations across a diverse set of industries, beginning as early as 2006. Most of the victims were here in the United States, some were in Canada, some were in Britain. Da-da-da-da-da. People are saying, China's saying it's not us. We're saying, oh, yes, it is. They're saying, no, it's you. We're saying, no, it's not us. Hacking attacks are transnational and anonymous. Determining their origins are extremely difficult. We don't know how the evidence in the so-called report can be tenable. This is coming from a spokesman, Hong Li. Arbitrary criticism based on rudimentary data is responsible, unprofessional, not helpful in resolving the issue. All right, so this, I'm going to just break it down. We hacked them, they hacked us, everybody's hacking each other. Our government's just going to push for more cybersecurity lockdowns and taking away our rights and our porn and our goat porn and our video games.
Are you out of the midget porn now? You don't do midget porn?
I still do my midget porn every once in a while. You never know. But, you know, I've got to change it up. I gotta allow them to make, you know, more midget porn. There's only so much midget porn out there.
Why? And I egged her on. I did.
She totally did.
I gotta take the blame. I egged her on. I shouldn't have done it. I should not have done it. All right.
I don't get this, you know. All right, so you hacked each other. We're all hacking each other. Just go about hacking each other. I don't care. Just leave my video games and my internet rights alone. You want to hack each other? That's fine.
You'll never take my internet.
But when you retaliate against, that's the whole, he poked me. Well, you poked him first. Well, he looked at me funny. So?
Oh, my God. All right.
Mack them both. Damn,
yeah.
Shut up. Say not. Turn this internet around.
I did. I egged her on. I did. I did it in private. I started it. I got to take blame for it. I have to. I did it. What can I say? I did it. Bad, Corey. Oh, Lord. Oh, I forgot. I was thinking myself. Don't work that way. All right. Why do I have like 5 Twitter windows open? Some of you are doing some crazy stuff on Twitter. I'm trying to watch. Okay. Bungie, as we told you about yesterday, is working on Destiny. Should be out any day now. They've begun unveiling Destiny, which is the grand game project that's been in the work for years. The future for Bungie and a significant part of Activision's future is depending on the success of Destiny. Bungie and Activision brought members of the press to Seattle.
What's the name of the spaceship? They did in not, Stargate.
That's right. They did not invite us. Or maybe they did. Look, Bungie and Activision brought members of the press to Seattle to start revealing information about the game. We may have been invited. I really don't know. I had a concussion. I'm sorry. Yes, I'm going to keep trotting that out until I'm way well past it. Okay, so they started revealing information about the game, and it creates some excitement and anticipation for Destiny. The process also raised many questions as has yet to be answered. A full day of meetings were held for assembled press, beginning in mid-morning and lasting until mid-afternoon. They also gave him a tour of Bungie Studios. Bungie COO Pete Parsons and several key Bungie employees discussed major aspects of Destiny. What is Destiny? Did we say that yesterday? We really don't know. But the most important part of this story that I wanted to share, because it's absolutely way too long, is that they're planning to not charge a subscription fee.
No subscription fee,
and we told you yesterday it's a very MMO-esque, and it's supposed to be a persistent world, so it's going to be on all the time. Every time you log in, it'll be different. It won't be like when you're playing COD and your friend invites you to the Xbox Live party and you kind of have to jump into the fray and then the game ends and you start over. This will be going on all the time, which I love. Absolutely love. So they're saying fall of this year, maybe? Or sometime in 2014, they really don't know. They're also hinting that they might even wait and hold it off for the Xbox 720. But they're saying they may go ahead and do 360 and the PS3 versions because it's soon when they're going to release it. I am very, very excited about this one. And did I mention all the guys that work at Bungie are hot? Every single one of them.
All the guys that work at Bungie are so.
They all need syrup on them. But, you know, you were saying yesterday it looks a lot like Star Wars. I'm seeing a whole lot, and I know they don't want to hear it. They're going to get tired of hearing it. I'm seeing a whole lot of Halo in some of even the concept art.
I did see some of the things, some of the monsters, whatnot, look like things from Halo. And I was like, hey, you just changed that around a little bit. I see that. But, you know, I'm sure at the same time, you know, they're probably utilizing a lot of the same artists. So
yeah,
they're going to get a lot of closeness.
Some of it's changed.
On.
Like, I like the female character I really am liking because she's got a robotic arm. I'm always about having a robotic arm. Just one. And I want y'all to hurry up with that because I may need a new arm by the time, you know, I'm 70. And I like for it to be robotic. Guys, keep them grandkids in order. Start talking smack, just grab them with the arm. What did you say to Grandma?
Oh, I love our
My
Corey.
Bionic arm is on the fritz. You better pick up your shoes. Anyway, yeah, I'm looking forward to checking out Destiny, even though it's at Activision, and hopefully they don't wow-alize it. Yes, I'm creating a new word.
Wow-alize it.
Yeah, they make it like wow.
Yeah, no wows. We are done with the wow. All right, so I want to tell y'all, if I can get this clicked, I want to tell y'all about Dusty Revenge.
Dusty yeah. Revenge?
Dusty.
We got to clean that up. Revenge. It can't be Dusty.
Well, it is kind of dusty if I can Where is my? Oh, there we go. All right. Okay. Here we go. I got it. Oh, it's making noise. Stop making noise. All right. Dusty Revenge, independent game developer PD Design Studios, pleased to release the first look at the upcoming 2D platformer game, Dusty Revenge. We are showing it on the screen right now. Players will take on the role of the revenge-obsessed rabbit Dusty and his quest for blood and ultimate payback in a vivid old Western environment. The game is currently seeking votes over on Stream Greenlight for its impending release in April 2013. Revenge will consume you, but redemption will push you to your breaking point. Play as Dusty, a dual weapon-wielding warrior ready to face loads of outlawed criminals, dangerous creatures, and the ruthless evil villain that rules them all. Meet friends along the way with new weapons and talents, journey through lavishly drawn environments, and work together to fulfill your unquenchable thirst for vengeance. All right, so what happened is consumed for revenge after the love of his life is killed, Dusty crosses paths with two unlikely allies who are seeking out the same enemy for a different reason. As the three set out to destroy the responsible band of villains and anyone else that stands in their way, they unravel a scheme much bigger than their personal vendettas. All right, so three unique characters with their own weapons and mechanics, nine gorgeously drawn environments, hordes of menacing villains. Dusty Revenge is, again, like I said, set for an early April release on the Mac and PC. And, you know, if you're looking at the screen right now, you're seeing the trailer. It's up on GameAndAtrix.com this morning. And was he just shooting those guns with his ears?
He was indeed shooting them with his flippin' ears.
His ears have fingers.
Yeah, well, I don't really want to discuss the semantics because it's disturbing me. But,
Just a little bit. I mean, just a short little replay there. I want to say, oh, no, wait, no, we're going to do something else. There we go. Press. Go. He had things on his ears. It was not cool. It's not cute.
Be afraid. Okay.
Very afraid. All right. So that was interesting.
Go
ahead. Right, Tom's got a link for me. Yay!
Shut up. I'm sorry. I just got that because, yeah, EA is crazy. But they are doing something some of you may like this morning. Apparently, wow. I don't know, Steam. I think they're sneaking up on you. You're not paying attention. You got to watch EA. You got to stop worrying about Linux and complaining about Windows and watch EA. But in any case, delivering more choice and more content and more places for gamers, EA and Ubisoft have teamed up and are announcing that popular PC titles from Ubisoft, including Assassin's Creed, Far Cry 3, Splinter Cell, and Splinter Cell Conviction, are now coming to Origin. You can purchase and play. Or purchase and download to your PC starting today here in North America, Europe, and Asia. With Europe and Asia, you'll be able to get it on February the 22nd. The vice president over for products, why can't I speak today? For production for Origin says the heart of any valuable gaming service is delivering all the great content that players want, and the addition of Ubisoft's top PC titles on Origin, as well as EA's titles to Uplay. Yeah, that's right. Steam, they are coming for you.
I don't think Steam has anything to worry about.
Not just yet, but you know EA is sneaky, okay?
Well, EA makes you play their games online. Steam's all like, oh, you want to play them offline? Here's the first person.
I can verify right now that is not true. I'm going to tell you how I found out it's not true. This Friday, I was at Girl Scouts, and we could not get the Wi-Fi hotspot to work, so I said, let me just go ahead and fire up my Tropico, and it would not work because it could not connect to Steam.
That's true, because I know there are several games you can play, because Steam's got the whole play offline thing that you have to select,
not
and then you can
no
play offline.
Not no more, child. Not no more.
Oh, no. And you know what? Now I got to start Steam. We got to see here.
Yeah, I'm going to disconnect you got to disconnect your Ethernet cord and then try it. But not during the show, Ginger, not during the show. Okay, so today, of course, Origin has nearly 40 million users across PC, Mac, and iOS platforms. I did not know they were on iOS. Origin for PC offers currently more than 500 titles from EA and publishing partners around the globe and is designed to offer a more dynamic and convenient play experience for the gamer. Origin for iOS devices is integrated into more than 50 EA games, offering single ID sign-on across multiple games. That is true. I forgot they did that. That's one thing they did right. Cloud saves, friends list, and achievement sharing. So you can go over to Origin if you haven't already and get some of your favorite games. You can follow them on at Origin Insider on Twitter or Origin Insider on Facebook. I forgot that they do that that log on thing, which is
nice. Right, it no longer has the playoff line. Oh my goodness.
I don't know what the bleep they're doing over at Steam, but that was a big no-no because...
No, a big no-no, because that was the big reason for me not going over to Origin, is that I could play offline and...
Guess what?
Well, that and Origin didn't, like, totally spy on me.
Guess what? Origin does spy on you, but now you can play Origin games offline.
Wow.
You know what? I figured out I don't have to have my... used to have Origin open to play The Sims, and you don't anymore. So they've kind
of... Not cool, yo. Not cool at all.
Okay, who bruised my arm?
Was not me.
Best night of my life. I don't even remember what happened. Okay, so...
No. Well, it's my ghost. All right, so, rumor has it, PlayStation 4 may be able, possibly maybe, to stream the PlayStation 3 games. Sony has offered backwards compatibility with the PlayStation 2 and select models of the PlayStation 3. However, it was rumored that older games would not be supported on the PlayStation 4 due to the AMD chipset. But there's a report over at the Wall Street Journal saying, you know, wait a minute. They say the company isn't prepared to leave the classics behind with the release of its new gaming console. That'd be very smart of them not to do that with as many other F-ups as they've had in the past year and a half. This would be a big one to make sure that we can play our games. Sony will reportedly use technology that it acquired from cloud gaming firm Gaikai last July that can stream older games to the PlayStation 4. It is unclear how the company will charge for streamed games, but it may be the case that users will be forced to purchase online versions of games that they physically own. That would suck.
Right.
The PlayStation 4 is expected to be equipped with an 8-core AMD processor, 8 gigabytes of RAM, 160 gigabytes of internal storage, and a Blu-ray drive, and it may be capable of running 3D games at 60 frames per second at the full HD 1080p resolution. Gotta get away to get my hands on this. Oh, surely would. Anyways, General Sources also confirmed earlier reports of enhanced motion sensing technology and a slightly redesigned controller with an integrated touchpad. As I've told you several times, Sony is scheduled to announce its next generation gaming console at a press conference that they have scheduled in New York City on February 20th. I cannot wait. I will try to stream that live. That's tomorrow. Maybe.
You can't.
6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. We'll see.
6 p.m. or 6 a.m.?
I think it's 6 p.m. I think. I may be good at 6. I have to check. We'll see. I'll try to get the information to you either way. Wow.
That'd be flippin' awesome. That's my new word, flippin'. That'd be flippin' awesome. I had a new word yesterday I was using. I forgot what it was. Oh, goodness gracious. All right. All right, those of you who play Rock Band, get ready for your last hurrah. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking I'm going to have a Rock Band party.
Last hurrah?
Your last hurrah. Rock Band DLC releases are done come April. Harmonix has announced that it will no longer be supporting its Rock Band platform with new downloadable songs after April 2nd of this year. Date will mark the last weekly Rock Band release, according to a recent post on the official Rock Band forum. GI.biz is also reporting that the Rock Band community manager or Rock Band of Community Development, Aaron Trites, said that we've managed to maintain a consistent release schedule for a staggering 275 consecutive weeks, releasing over 4,000 songs for the Rock Band platform. But in recent months, we've scaled production down as we've transitioned resources into other projects. With several new titles in development and developers needed to usher these new games along, April 2nd will be the last weekly DLC release for Rock Band. He says, we are incredibly proud of the DLC milestones we've set, especially producing the largest music library of any game available, and we wouldn't have been able to release as much outstanding content without the support of our amazing community. The last release in the series was Rock Band Blitz, which was launched in August of 2012 for PlayStation Network and the Xbox Live Arcade. I told you guys that the Rock Band people, the Harmonix.
She told y'all why we're y'all not listening.
You needed to split up the genres into actual little, not releases each week, but we needed a R&B band, a country band, classical band, you know, just every genre of music, trip hop. You have like 15 million genres of music you could have played with, and you would have grabbed all of those people that liked their particular genre. Fun. You should have gotten with the Beyoncés, the Rihannas, the, you know, the people, an American Idol rock band would have been one, The Voice one. You could have done all of this with all these music shows that are out. Y'all didn't continue with the taking advantage. But my current rock band, we have to get together on April the 2nd to send them off properly.
Yes.
I will pull out the drum set, and I'm going to pull out both my guitars, all three of my mics.
Wow. Corey's going to go out of hardcore, yo.
Yeah, when I'm going
hardcore.
When I go out, I go out. Beep! It's on. Y'all want to play? Jay, I'm looking at you. Jay's the band leader, by the way.
Wow.
Jay, I'm going to need you to lead the band into obscurity because there will be no more of us. I think we should start off with Nirvana. Just to get the ball rolling.
Hell yeah. All right, so. Sorry, I'm still giggling over that. Call to Arms from the EFF on.
Did you say Call to Arms or Call to Arms?
Call to Arms.
Okay, I was scared. I was like, why are my arms cold, Ginger? I don't like that.
My arms are cold, man.
No.
I'm in my foot pajamas, too.
Did you say foot pajamas?
Footsie pajama.
Oh, you said foot. This is adorable.
Well, my foots are in them. All right, so the Electronic Frontier Foundation has issued an action alert. I'm letting you all know about it. They are asking the internet community to fight against the newest iteration of the Cyber Intelligence Protection and Sharing Act, CISPA. Just say no to CISPA, folks. Just saying. While it may be a new year of who wrote this? While it may be a new year, the House bill meant to protect companies and critical infrastructure from cyber terrorists and hackers, the bill has not changed at all since it was introduced in 2012. Sadly, the House members couldn't even bother to change many of the bad things about this bill, like its broad language. No, they don't want to change that because they want to take away your porn. They want to be able to see everything you're doing. They want to be able to go to your providers and say, give us everything, and they have to give it.
And even if you haven't done anything, is what makes
it bad. They don't even have to have proof. They just they walk in and say, we want it, hand it all over.
Mm-hmm. And that'd be very, very true.
Yeah, it's lack of protections for individuals' privacy and due process rights, and it's fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants information sharing scheme that gives companies immunity from being sued if they happen to violate an individual's privacy rights are completely ridiculous. All right, so what does the EFF have to say about the bill? Last year, tens of thousands of concerned individuals used the EFF Action Center to speak out against overbroad and ineffective cybersecurity proposals. Together, we substantially changed the debate around cybersecurity in the U.S., moving forward a range of privacy-protective amendments and ultimately helping us to defeat the Senate bill. Now we need your help again. Can you send a message to your representatives asking them to oppose the bill? I will be doing that directly after the show. There is a cool little page you can visit, and I'm going to pull it up and show you, because you want to go to this page, and you want to fill out the information. It's really easy. You want to go to the action.eff.org. So CISPA is back. You put in your zip code. I'm not going to put in mine, folks. Nice try. But it'll tell you who you need to write to. It's really easy. Tell them do not back this. Tell them we will vote you out. Tell them you will have to go back to flipping burgers somewhere, dude, because, yeah, we're not putting up with this crap. It's ridiculous. It really is. But they can go to your providers, your internet providers, and say, give us everything. And that's the other deal, is that these internet providers will have to start keeping all these logs. And for a lot of these smaller companies, that's just going to put them under. And you don't want that.
Yeah, the resources that they'll have to keep track of all this.
I know. And you know, and with a lot of these communities wanting to go to their own private, like, T1 internet, which is like, oh, my God, amazing, they're not going to be able to do this because they're not going to have the money, the funds, or the manpower to keep up with all this information that they're going to have to keep.
Nope.
That's just not cool, people. Not cool at all.
Nope.
No, 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 no.
Nope, nope.
No,
no. Nope, nope.
No, no.
I'm busy posting something, which y'all can go look at. Natsumi has released a new game for PSP. It's an RPG, which I'm not interested in at all. So we're not really going to talk about it other than that. You can pop over to GameNatrix.com and check out Mystic Chronicles if you're into that. I don't know what's with me and the some animes I really
good
like.
Good morning, Joe!
Did he say good morning already? Or he said good morning to you? I'm sorry.
Yeah. He did. He's over in Twitch. Good morning, Joe!
Is he over there?
Yes, yes, yes.
Joe! With many exclamation points. I love it. Joe, what's with the exclamation points? All right. Oh, yeah, we got to say a belated... Well, I said happy birthday to her personally. Molly Pop! Happy birthday,
Molly
to
Pop! Happy we birthday. Love you!
It's her birthday.
Yeah. Well, it was yesterday, I thought.
Yeah, it was yesterday, but we forgot to say happy birthday to her yesterday. Yeah. So happy birthday to the Mollies all on the air. Let me let her know we said.
Happy birthday, Molly.
Happy B-Day to you on air, Molly.
Yes, because we love our Molly. Molly is awesome.
Molly Pop.
Molly Pop, Molly Pop. Ooh, Molly, Molly.
I was trying not to sing it.
Sorry.
I was trying not.
My bad.
Now you done started something.
I did.
All right. Let me just tell y'all. I woke up this morning and I had a lovely little flashing icon in my bottom right corner of my screen. And I said, oh my God, what is this? And I don't know whether to be excited or what. But I guess we should be excited because.
What did you have?
An update for my NVIDIA video card.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
The reason being is they've got something new and delicious out. And let me. Yeah, I think I was thinking that we showed this already, but we did not. This is actually a new telephone.
A new telephone?
A new telephone. Wait, if I could stop clicking on the wrong thing, this might work out really well. Okay, this is. Wait, let me breathe because I got all excited. I'm trying to say it slow. Okay, and let me give Ginger a link so she can show you guys. Okay, go over and check this lovely. They have a list of phones that have NVIDIA things in them, but this is the Tegra 4. Actually, you know what? I don't even think it's on that page now that I'm looking at it. Well, some of those have those video cards in them, the Tegra 2, 3, and 4 video cards, but this is why I have an update this morning.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to my story?
NVIDIA is putting out phones.
Well, they're putting chips in phones is what they're doing, which is awesome. And I have lost
it. That is awesome.
I'm trying to get to the story. I have lost it. I know they've made around $4.28 billion. This is for made a deal this quarter. And I'm getting to it, people. I'm getting to it. That's what I get for scrolling. I was looking at something else and said, oh, I'll come back to this one in a minute. And I thought I had it open, but apparently
you never.
Never scroll. All right, let me go back over here to my other story with NVIDIA in it. Okay, so they're introducing their first mobile processor. That's why we're talking about cell phones. That's why we say it's a cell phone. But I'm going to say cell phone is not far off the mark for them pretty soon. The company says the result will be smartphones with killer processing power and 3D graphics. Do y'all know what this means? Well, let me finish telling you.
There are going to be a lot of fanboys with some wet.
The new Tegra 4i, which is what they're calling a Phoenix reference phone, has the highest performance of any single-chip smartphone processor, and this is according to NVIDIA themselves. The chip represents the maker's big chance to grab market share in smartphones as it shifts from its mainstay business of developing graphics chips for personal computers to creating chips for mobile devices. They are announcing the chip ahead of the Mobile World Congress event in Barcelona, where the Tegra 4i will be on display. It'll also have sample smartphone designs to make it easier for customers to adopt it. But the competition is tough, of course. Qualcomm is introducing its 600 and 800 series Snapdragon processors in the coming months, and it has a lot of design wins. Those processors also have high-end 3D graphics and high-speed LTE data networking, and then can deliver, hands above the desk, 150 megabits a second data access.
Ooh, that's so hot.
Still, NVIDIA says that its chip is half the size of its competitors, which means it'll likely be cheaper and consume less power, resulting in longer battery life, which means more gaming on your phone. NVIDIA claims that the Tegra 4i can generate performance per square millimeter that is 2.5 times better than the Snapdragon 800 series chip. The 4i's raw performance is also faster, and it delivers blazing fast web browsing. NVIDIA.
That is so totally hot.
Yes, the NVIDIA chip sampling is sampling now, and a few phones could feature it later on this year. They're not out now, so you can't get one, but the ones you're looking at on the page do currently have NVIDIA chips in them. If you want to get those, just to get a taste of what you'll be in for later in the year. More smartphones with chips should debut in the spring of next year, they're saying. Qualcomm, by contrast, said devices with this 800 series chip could appear mid this year. Oh, man.
Excited? Oh, my God.
Statement. If you're not understanding what this means, people, it means we're getting closer to having a cell phone, because I've been begging for this, a cell phone that can actually play games, not your Google Play Store, but I'm talking about a Halo,
Yeah, because while I love my phone, I wish it would play games better. It doesn't, not yet, but it will.
Oh, something in my mouth. Okay, so it's gonna happen. I'm gonna say by 2015, you're gonna be able to pull out your phone and play Battlefield 3 and still be talking to your grandma. Yeah, grandma, I'm on my way. What you got? What? Yeah, that's gonna happen.
God, I can't wait. I cannot wait. Oh,
put your hands above the desk, woman.
No. Oh, it's gonna be so sexy. Oh, I can't wait. All right, so two of our favorite companies got together, Paradox Interactive Partners with Able Gamers.
Woo,
that's awesome. Able Gamers Foundation and Paradox has partnered up to help bring video game accessibility to the Penny Arcade Expo East, PAX East, in Boston, Massachusetts. Each year, the Able Gamers Accessibility Arcade displays the latest assistive technology for gamers with disabilities to play today's top games with just a little help. Paradox has been a longtime supporter of the Able Gamers Foundation and our work to make video games as inclusive as possible. This is coming from Mark Bartlett. Sorry, Mark.
He's going
crazy. I can't say any of your names right. He's the president and founder of the Able Gamers Foundation. We cannot thank them enough for the continued support of the disability community. By continuing to be an annual sponsor, Paradox has guaranteed the Able Gamers Foundation will be able to attend PAX East each year, where we will continue our work of enabling all gamers, no matter their abilities. What we love the most about Able Gamers is their hands-on and all-encompassing approach to making games more accessible to gamers. This is coming from Frederick Wester, CEO of Paradox Interactive. See, I said your name right. Their formula includes a few easy steps publishers and developers can adopt to open their games to gamers with disabilities. And combined with their relentless dedication, their organization has changed the lives of thousands of people through the medium we are all so passionate about, games. We are proud to stand by the Able Gamers and this important cause and invite them to do the same. All right, so looks like the Able Gamers Accessibility Arcade is going to be on the main level of PAX East, directly right in front of the showroom floor. That's amazing. That is some prime territory right there.
Right.
All are welcome to stop by for hands-on demonstrations of the unique gaming technology that enables disabled players the chance to enjoy video games like everyone else. Able Gamers staff will also be on hand all 3 days to answer questions about accessibility, gamers with disabilities, and assistive technology. So that's great. Awesome, guys. If y'all are going and you pass by, please, please, please hand a couple of dollars to these guys. That money goes to a wonderful cause. These guys work their butts off for like nothing. Actually, I want to say that Able Gamers is a no-profit foundation. So,
yeah, not for profit.
Yeah, not for profit. So this is amazing. So any little help that y'all can do is just going to be very much appreciated there. So yay for Paradox and Able Gamers.
Ooh, ooh.
And yay for PAX East.
Why do you say that all in the high register?
I don't know.
Oh. You It's a sweet ginger. It's a sweet ginger.
Yeah, yawn and ginger, too. Yay! All right, so sugar.
Here you go. All right, I got it. What happened?
What? That's the tag, you're it.
Oh, I didn't hear the tag. I was like, what happened? Did something good happen? Something bad happen? What do we need to know? We need to know.
Oh, that is so bad. I signed up for an exercise class and was told to wear loose-fitting clothing. If I had any loose-fitting clothing, I wouldn't have signed up in the first place.
That oh! That's not right.
That is, yeah.
That is not right. That's not right. Oh. Okay, breathing would be good. All right. Yes, breathing would be good. I got a little choked. It's all right. All right, those of you who love you some beta deliciousness, Halen Rising has entered open beta. Halen, H-A-I-L-A-N. This is from Reloaded Productions. They are one of the free-to-play people. They make free-to-play MMOs. And this is going to be on Gamers First. All right, they're calling this the Wreck-It Week Challenge. The first three players to crash the server, as reported by the monitoring tools, will qualify for the following. See, they understand beta. This is what you're supposed to do. Try to break it, okay? The third prize will be 10,000 G1 credits. Ooh, we got to get in there. Gamers First currency, which is valued at about $50. Second prize is 20,000 G1 credits, which is about 200. I think y'all said that wrong. Oh, 20,000, yes, $250 U.S. dollars. And the grand prize is 40,000 G1 credits, which is valued at about $500 U.S. You also get an epic quality in-game item and original weapon named after your in-game character for the Wrecking
World. That's awesome.
And a QA acknowledgement in the game credits. I'm so going over there and breaking that server. Okay, just because I want the credit. Okay, so from the very start.
Sorry, guys. We tried a container. It just doesn't always work.
That's going to be broken, I'm telling you. I'm all in it. It's getting broken. Wreck-It Week. I'm all about it. Okay, so from the very start of development, Halen Rising was always about getting players into the PvP battle instantly. So when it came time to unlock the game for beta, it only seemed right to challenge the players to take down the server first, said Alan Calimaestro Smith, who's the Halen Rising producer for Reloaded Productions. He says, "We've never done a competition quite like this before. I dare say nobody has. And with so many of our players wanting to be part of the gaming industry, what better prize to offer than to award them with an indelible mark on the game in the form of a game credit and an item inspired by their own character. Sign up is not required for the contest. However, players will need to have a Gamers First account in order to receive promotions or winnings. A free Gamers First account can be created. You just pop over to gamersfirst.com. All existing closed beta players, as well as players who download the client and create a character a couple days ago, will receive 200 G1 credits. Why didn't I catch this? I need 200 G1 credits. I need to buy stuff. Okay, this is a redeemable. Their G1 credits apply to any of their games. It's not just the one you're playing. So if you play Fallen Earth, you could use it over there. Players will also receive an additional one-time 100 G1 credits if the currency is used in the Halen Rising cash shop. Gamers can then find the Halen Rising game client over it. Well, you go to halenrising.patch.gamersfirst. You know what? We'll have that for you. I'll put it up on the site. You can download it from us if you like, because we're awesome
like
that.
Yes, we will. We will.
Reloaded Productions, of course, is a first wholly owned developed MMO titled. It's a PvP-based sandbox fantasy MMO, which encourages player skill and creativity rather than how many players can hours you can invest. Developed in Unity 3D and leveraging the Miaximo.com animation system. Halen, what just happened there?
I don't know. But like you were talking and like.
Yeah, I heard myself go blank. So what just happened there?
I know. I was like, what in the world? Is she okay? Did she lose connection?
That was weird.
That's fine. I'm spamming crazy pictures.
Wow. Anyway, Halen Rising has none of the barriers typically found in traditional MMORPGs, such as gear grinding, character leveling, or class restrictions. Thanks to the game's unique Aethera system, players can learn any ability from the physical, magic, and utility skill trees through the use of Aethera shards, offering literally millions of possible character archetypes, which means PvP is going to be real interesting. Oh, man. Paired with no gear or weapons restrictions, players can accentuate their new character with items specifically suited to their build, creating a truly unique gaming experience. This design allows players to get into PvP action and playing with their friends immediately instead of forcing a week-long grinding session. Ginger, don't this sound like something you all in?
That does sound like something I'm all in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I know.
Mm-hmm.
Corbin knows.
Maybe possibly.
Corbin knows. Okay, you can also choose between two factions. You can be human or an orc, and you can battle to secure territory in order to survive. This one is another one set in the post-apocalyptic fantasy world of Halen. Players find themselves in the role of survivors of a global flooding that has remade the world anew. I love when they do that. With the flood waters receding, both the orcs and humans scramble to capture and define new lands from surviving indigenous life and each other. When not fighting for contested territories, players can venture into the realms, free zones, battling creatures, and searching for powerful Aethera shards that can make the difference between success and failure. To get up-to-date information of Reloaded Games' Halen Risings community and fan books pages, you can find them, of course, on gamersfirst.com/Halen Rising and on Facebook, Halen Rising. If you're following us on Facebook, you will see me like them shortly after. Oh, my God, it's beautiful. I was trying not to look. Oh, my God, Ginger, it's beautiful.
Is it? Is it gorgeous?
Hands above the desk. Oh, my God, it's beautiful. I didn't want to look. I didn't give you a trailer. I didn't want to see.
But you looked. You looked. You looked. Is it really all that beautiful?
Yes. Do not look directly into the Halen. Oh. Stop. Look at the mountains. Oh, God.
I may want it.
Don't look.
Don't. I may want it.
Well, you can grab the client from our website shortly. I'm going to zip it up after I scan it. I want to make sure you're safe. You want to scan it, too, because my computer's tricky. It'll say it's clean. But you can grab the client from us probably in the next hour or two if you want to get in there and play the closed beta, and we'll have all kinds of links and stuff up for you on GameMatrix.com. It's so pretty. Oh, God. Joe, we may have to leave you in Fallen Earth. I'm sorry.
Poor Joe. No love for Joe ever. Where's the link? I want to see.
Huh?
So where's the link? I want to see.
I'm just going to give you the Facebook page. And I'm
y'all see how she's trying to hide it from me?
I'm not trying to hide it from you. I'm trying to protect you. Just go there. And I'm very, very sorry for all of you that are going to see this. We're going to create problems. I tried to save you. I tried. Photo is enough to do it for you.
Oh, that is pretty. I
got to hear that. Oh, look the sky. Look the sky. Sky's my other thing. If it's not water, it's sky. Oh, man. I squinted, which means it's good. Like it was real sunlight. It's good.
They have photos. I click on their photos.
Oh, it's good. Oh, it's time to go. We're all going nuts. All right, so it's time for us to go. And we will see you guys later on tonight when we do Pixinista. We got quite a few little things going on for Pixinista.
We do.
Mm-hmm. Namely, Freakum dresses. Anyway, we'll see you guys a little bit later.
Yeah. Oh, that is so hot. Look at that village. That is sexy. Look at those clouds.
I felt
so beautiful rendering of this. Look at the water, Corey. Look at the water.
Stop. Oh, I don't. Oh, wait. God, look at that.
Again.
Oh, yes.
I think the water. Been locked up in the house for too long. It's time to get it. Cause once again he's out doing wrong. And my girl's so real. That it's been a minute since I had him. He's been acting up. But he won't be the only one.
I'm gonna
ask you, mom, before you put it on. Get him a tie. This is just so. Go back to back. Come on, impress. Pull out the brakes on that.
girls. Mwah.